Each one of us decides in our own heart if we will believe in God. You alone make the final choice as to where to place your faith. But to leave these matters unattended in our hearts is similar to leaving a ship unanchored on the ocean. Hope the storms never come up. Those kinds of things really shouldn't be left to the last minute or until an emergency and panic have set in. God is available in a panic and an emergency, but perhaps you would have less anxiety. Perhaps you'd have more peace if you could decide these questions of faith before events force the question upon you. So we offer each week an affirmation of our faith at Daleville Christian Church. This one from 1 Corinthians. Very simple. As we this week have been looking at creation and the messages that God has for us in his creation, from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, "Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, through whom all things came and through whom we live." God's word for today is from Luke's Gospel in the 12th chapter, verses 22 through 26. Jesus is teaching, and then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than clothes, and the body more than clothes. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?" May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today's message is inspired by this week's Daleville Christian Church Vacation Bible School 2019 theme, Animals, Animals, Animals. Kids love animals. But as you might be aware, Americans have been losing touch with animals. I don't think I'm telling tales out of school to say that Americans have already lost touch with their rural roots, even in small towns like ours. Children today may not be sure what sheep are, or what cattle are, or tell the difference between a cow and a horse. I heard one child this week identify a sheep as a dog. I could trot out all kinds of statistics. The number of farms in 1920 compared to 2020. Include in that comparison the number of people who live on farms. Consider the number of farms that even have animals compared to grain farming. And if the animals on those farms are in confined operations, you and I might never see the animals. And because of school choice, many people live outside of school districts, so going to a school in a rural area does not automatically mean that school children in rural districts can identify common farm animals. So America has seen a decrease in farms, farm family connections, farm community connections, and even visual connections with animals. They simply don't see them as they travel up and down. Do you know the difference between vegan and vegetarian? It's not a joke, it's a real question. A vegetarian is someone who does not eat meat or consume any kind of animal product. Likewise, vegans avoid meat and poultry and seafood, but they take a step ahead by not consuming milk or eggs or honey, or any product or byproduct made from animals. The term vegan was coined in 1944 was to denote non-dairy vegetarians. Later, it included all animal products. of interest. People are vegetarians or vegans for a variety of reasons. Dietary reasons are only one of the reasons, and sometimes not the main reason. Between 2 and 6% of Americans self-identify as vegetarians, and that number has increased since 1978. It's reported that about 1 million people are vegan. All this is to say that we, as a society, have been moving away from our relationship with animals that we have enjoyed, and I'll use the word enjoyed, a relationship with animals we have enjoyed for the last 200 years and more. Native Americans had an even more intimate relationship with many more animals than we European Americans did. Our industrialization, computerization, has accelerated the loss of our relationship with animals. I would call it a widening gap in our animal relationships that has not stopped and continues to grow. Although we save some species of animals, like buffalo, the American bison, there are those dedicating themselves to resurrecting species of animals like the mastodon. Many people consider animals a problem. They either prevent industrial development, or predators like coyotes have been known to raid homes and snatch away pets. Many children have to be taught about our food sources. And still, the elimination of home economics from high school classrooms has led to a disconnect between people and their food preparation. All the while there can be a protest about fast food, there are those who can find no other way to eat a warm meal. Some churches and nonprofits have discovered it's even more beneficial than giving food to hungry people is to teaching them how to prepare food for the dinner table. Why am I going on about this? Because the Bible knows all about animals, some animals we've never heard of or seen. There are familiar animals in the Bible, but if we as a people know less and less about our relationship to animals, how can anyone benefit from reading Jesus' words? Today's reading from God's Word, Jesus said, "Consider the ravens," which can be translated, "Look at, consider, think about the birds," says Matthew's gospel. Ravens are especially mentioned by Luke and Luke's sources. And today we will pursue Jesus' call to do just that, to consider the ravens. But if we were asked, if we know the meaning of the verse that we've just read, most of us will come up with a negative statement. And we interpret what Jesus said, "Don't worry." I would have you notice that in that particular verse, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Consider the ravens. God feeds them, and you are worth much more than birds." And you are worth much more than birds. From what I know about you all, I am sure you often tell yourselves not to worry. But how many times have you repeated Jesus' words, "I am worth much more than birds"? The International Standard Version puts it nicely because Jesus is often teaching by asking questions. Look at the birds in the sky. They don't plant or harvest or gather food into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You are more valuable than they are, aren't you? Aren't you? What we miss in the Greek question is Jesus' expectation that the answer is yes, I am more valuable than these birds that our God cares for. I would ask that you say that with me. Yes, I am more valuable than these birds that our God cares for. So let's consider the ravens, as Jesus asked us to do. The ravens, the first species of bird to be mentioned in the Bible, and Ravens are mentioned on numerous occasions thereafter. Now, when is a raven in the Bible a raven, and when is it something else? A raven is a part of the Corvidae family of birds. The Corvidae is a family of ossine passerine birds. Don't worry, there will be no quiz today. This family of birds includes the crows, ravens, rooks, jackdaws, jays, magpies, and others. In common English, they are often known simply as the crow family, or more technically, corvids. I'm sure you and your neighbors get together once in a while, talk about the corvids in the neighborhood. There are over 120 species of corvid described. There's no consistent difference between crows and ravens, mostly based on size, with ravens being larger than crows. Corvids display remarkable intelligence for animals of their size and are among the most intelligent birds. Their total brain-to-body ratio is equal to that of the great apes, and only slightly lower than that of humans. There are between 8 and 10 different species of raven in the area of the Holy Land. There is no consistent distinction between crows and ravens, as I mentioned. The largest raven species are the common raven, and that's the species name, common raven, and the thick-billed raven. In Genesis 8:7, we read, Noah sent out a raven, and it flew here and there until the water was dried up from the earth. Now, we can't expect Noah to know the scientific reasons he might choose, or God chose, a raven to be sent out first. By the way, one translator suggests that when it says the raven flew here and there, it's better translated out and back, because it's clear that land was not found by the raven. But why a raven? Science might say it was because the common raven, the name of that particular species, the common raven lives all over the northern hemisphere. Any land would be good ground for these ravens. Also, part of their success as a species is due to their omnivorous diet. They're extremely versatile and opportunistic in finding sources of nutrition, feeding on carrion, insects, cereal grains, berries, fruit, small animals, nesting birds, and food waste. So in Luke's book, Jesus calls us to consider the ravens. Any special reason why we should consider ravens? Well, Leviticus and Deuteronomy tell us that those birds are unclean as a food source for God's people. Therefore, even the birds that are not valuable as food for God's people remain valuable to God. Even the birds that are not valuable as food for God's people remain valuable to God. The ravens are valuable because God says they are valuable. Of how much more value are we than the birds? Jesus would demonstrate how much value you are to the Heavenly Father. I believe one of the better words the Bible uses for our value that Americans understand is the word redeemed. Redemption is basically a trade. Item for item is traded, or the item desired for the price the buyer is willing to pay. So the item desired is handed over to the redeemer who provides the redemption price. Again, a trade. The item desired is traded for the trade price, or an item of comparable value as agreed to by the trading parties, and the items are traded. The Apostle Paul declared to the Galatians, Christ the Messiah redeemed us. The word redeemed is used between 40 and 100 times in the Bible. That's the New International Version. You get redeemed between 60 and 120 times in the King James Version of the Bible. About a 20% difference, but either way, you're 100% redeemed. Titus 2:14 states it as clearly as can be stated. Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us. Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us. Now we might ask, from whom are we being purchased? And you know the answer is Satan or the power of the evil one, but most people don't believe in Satan. So I would try to explain it this way. Assuming that you live for yourself, you incorporated. Well, you incorporated just got bought out by God. You incorporated wasn't worth all that much, but the King of the universe gave his only son to purchase you incorporated. The Apostle Paul will say, you were bought with a price. You were bought at a price. Peter's first letter states, for you know you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ. He has another phrase in there, which I didn't read. I'll read it now. For you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ. You may literally translate the Greek word redeemed as to release on receipt of a ransom, or simply say to buy out. It's something done for you. Objects, whether of little or no great value, cannot sell themselves. They have to be brokered or sold. Our God is buying. Our God values you, wants to buy you. You are that valuable to him. And God never haggled the price. God gave God's only begotten Son to get you back. We who were like lost sheep or wandering or even rebellious. You and I can say, yes, I am of much more value than the birds God cares for. Amen.